Can you hear me?
What up, Zach?
Ah!
Hey, I just realized that my Zoom says Will Hitchcock on it.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of Will Hitchcock. Not a great guy.
That guy. You know, I don't know. You just kind of gotta deal with him.
You gotta roll with the punches sometimes. I get it.
Yeah, dude, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I love that wood backdrop.
I am in, I'm actually in Vermont at the moment, which I feel like is the only place that you see wood backgrounds like this. Are you in Nashville? Where are you? Are you at home right now?
No, I'm actually at the management office. My house is way too wild for me to do this there. I have a 4.5-year-old and a newborn baby that's 3 weeks old, so.
Holy cow, congratulations. What was it like? So the difference between the giving birth in non-COVID and giving both in COVID, I'm assuming it was just you and your wife, right? Like no family was able to go in. What was the experience like?
Yeah, we were super nervous just because, you know, you don't really know what to expect. And it ended up being this beautiful, like peaceful experience because you don't have people roaming the halls. You don't have a bunch of chaos. Like it was really quiet. And last time we had some of our parents come and, you know, then friends come after for the next 2 days and you really don't get much sleep. And this time it was just like us chilling, you know, and hanging out. And it's just me and my wife. And it was like this really special kind of bond. Like it ended up being really cool.
Very cool. And have you been getting any sleep with this newborn around? Are they sleeping? Are they keeping you up? What's going on?
A little bit. I mean, my wife has been such a champ through this. Like we, obviously I said, we have a 4-year-old Levi and so my like role has been taking care of him, which he's a little tornado, you know, that like runs around and just, you know, creates chaos. But I've been on Levi duty. So it's been good, but you know, the first couple weeks really supporting my wife, really trying to like do whatever I can. You know, there's not a ton that you can do except for like get up in the middle of the night with them every couple hours and help out, you know, in whatever way we can.
Totally.
Yeah, man. So it's been good.
It's awesome. So I know you're from Florida and I was reading that you grew up working in the sod fields.
Yep.
And I'm actually from New York. I had to look up what sod was and then I realized, oh, it's just grass.
Yeah.
But I mean, how do you end up working in the sod fields? Is that a good gig when you're a kid? Does that pay well, better than working, you know, elsewhere? Is that a good gig to get in Florida?
It's so funny because I used to tell my friends that we grew grass and they'd be like, oh, grass, what kind, you know? And no, it was good. Like it was, my folks, my grandfather, they've always been in land development and they've always owned nurseries and sod fields and all that kind of stuff. So at a real young age, all of us, like my brothers, my cousins, we were all put out in the sod field to understand what real work is so that their whole goal was to make us realize, like, you need to go to college. You know, you don't want to go out here and be digging ditches and throwing sod your whole life. So it worked.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, we all went to college and yeah, we would literally show up to work. The whole, it's probably too much information, but the whole joke was like there were mosquitoes down there. And because we had, our sod field was in the Everglades. So there are mosquitoes down there that we used to joke that you could like put a saddle on and ride, you know? And so it wasn't the nicest environment and it was super hot and you'd come back filthy, you know, but you learned what a day's work was, you know?
Well, anyway, and then what do you end up doing with the sod?
So you're on the back of this tractor that has a cutter on it. And so it drops a blade every foot. And so it cuts out a foot and then it comes up a conveyor belt. You grab it off the conveyor belt and you throw it onto a pallet. And then you throw it onto this like square pallet that has a couple hundred yards on it. And then they throw it on a truck and they take it to a house and they sod their backyard.
Holy cow. Fantastic.
Yeah, man. We grew St. Augustine down in Florida, which is like one of the higher end grasses, you know, and I miss it because we don't have it up here in Tennessee.
Yeah, you're like a grass, like I'm sure your lawn's still amazing though.
Actually, I wish it was. It's not, man. It's like, I don't feel like I have enough time to actually manicure it the way I'd like to. And, you know, my wife and I just had this conversation the other day that I don't prioritize it because I, you know, we have a house full of kids and you know, working and whatnot.
But if it was a priority, like if it meant that much to you, I guarantee you'd have the best lawn in the neighborhood. Like you would know how to do it.
I crushed that yard. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Okay, wait. So you grew up and I love this story that, you know, yeah. I think your father saw that you were really into music and he wanted to help you out. And he starts calling he takes the phone book, he starts calling everyone in the neighborhood, and he finds a neighbor with a studio. Yep. What, so like, how do you know you were into music? And he just starts calling, you know, everyone the phone book, and he finds this guy with a studio. Like how does that come together?
Yeah, man. I mean, it was such a journey. Like my middle brother started writing poetry when I was like 15. And he needed melodies to go along with it. So I started co-writing with him. And then I started co-writing the lyrics with him. And then we had like 5 songs that we were really proud of. And I think the first one that we recorded was called Send Me an Angel to Love. And my dad, he always says, he's like, you know, your eldest brother wanted to play baseball. I went and bought bat, ball, glove, went in the backyard, taught him how to hit. And your middle brother wanted to play soccer, went and bought a soccer ball. You wanted to be an artist. I had no idea you wanted to be in music. Like, nobody's ever done that in our family. Literally, there's not like a musical bone in any of them. And so dad came home from work, knocked off work early one day, unbeknownst to me, I was at school. And he sat down with the phone book, Yellow Pages or whatever it was, and he started going through studios and entertainment and whatever. And my mom said he sat there for hours. And people would just be like, oh, no, can't help you. Oh, no, can't help you. And this one guy, he called all over Florida and Georgia. And this one guy that was like probably 30 minutes from our house ended up answering the phone and answering any question my dad had and being like, yeah, I have a studio in my garage and all this stuff. And bring your kids by. And here, you know, and we went in there and we created, you know, music. And we put instruments and music to our songs that we had. And that was the first recording I ever made, which was amazing. And that's, you know, I fell in love with it.
Holy cow. And did you pull in players? Did you have enough musical experience that did that guy play? Like, how did you know how to put a record together?
So there was an engineer there who owned the studio and, you know, he twists the knobs and all that kind of stuff. And then he had one other guy that played multiple instruments and I played guitar a little bit. So we kind of, between me and him, we kind of threw it all together.
Holy cow. And I mean, did it feel like the coolest thing ever in a recording studio, making a record, first project?
I got in the studio, like in the vocal booth for the first time. And I was so nervous because, I mean, most people don't know, but there's a tack to like singing in the studio. It's way different than singing live.
Right, of course.
So live is way more forgiving. And so I had to learn how to sing in the studio, and it was one of the coolest experiences to be able to walk out of there and hear my voice on this song that my brother and I wrote, like, and just throw the CD in our car, driving down the road, or play it for friends. I used to play like 4-H clubs and festivals and fairs and stuff like that. And I think the first artist I opened for was Neil McCoy at like a 4-H club or something festival. And, you know, I give him a CD and, you know, just being able to sell CDs, you know, from the little like flatbed trailer I was playing on and all that kind of stuff, man. So
now, how'd you get those gigs opening up for, cause you opened up for a lot of people when you were pretty young. Was your father in the phone book and calling the agencies, or how'd you get those early gigs?
No, my dad, actually, we used to call him my deaf sound man. Because he would sit back there and he like learned just enough to like run the console and kind of run the sound for me. And the way I got most of my gigs was I became really good friends with the radio station there, TRS down in Ocala, Florida. And one of the guys that was a morning show host, his name was Dave Tyler, and he just kind of took me under his wing, and any opportunity that would come up, he would kind of throw my name in the hat. And I got to know him because I would go to their radio remotes at Ford of Ocala, and they would have this tent set up, and they would have a stool with a guitar and a microphone in like a parking spot right next to the tent. And that would be my stage. And I would sit there and I just play for a half hour or whatever after school while people were walking around the lot trying to, you know, buy cars. And so that's how I met him. And then he just kind of put my name in the hat for some festivals, and then you start meeting people and the ball starts getting rolling, and you know, one thing leads to the next.
That's awesome. So, okay. So you decide to go to Belmont.
Yep.
You go to Belmont. By the way, I'm curious. I mean, I went to Berklee College of Music, and I remember being in school and seeing, like, all of a sudden someone being in your class one day and the next you'd see him on stage with Beyonce, or I had a friend who joined like the Harmony, and I mean, it was crazy. Like, were people blowing up when you were at Belmont? Like, was it crazy? Like, someone being in class one day and then, or now you look and you're like, holy crap, I was in class with that person. And now they're like,
Yeah, there were a couple people, like Tyler Hubbard was at Belmont when I was at Belmont. And so just knowing him and like seeing his journey, that was cool. But that all happened after college. When I was in college, there were a couple people, like there was a girl named, I think Ashley Ray. I think she may have had a deal when I was in college. She, you know, she's writing at BMG where I write currently, and we're really good friends. But there weren't a ton of people just kind of blowing up like at Berklee, you know? But I would say Tyler Hubbard's probably like the biggest success of my class, you know, my time at Belmont.
Absolutely. Well, okay. Yeah. So this new record is so awesome. I was listening to it just before this. And
thank you, man.
First of all, I think it's interesting the release strategy that you guys have been doing. You know, you've been releasing like a single song over a period of time, and then you're repackaging it as like an EP. Was that how did you guys decide that was going to be the best way to put the record out?
We wanted people to get to know me and get to know who I am before they really bought in, you know, to a whole EP. So we took like every 6 weeks we just released a new song, and we've had this arsenal just sitting here kind of waiting to release it. And you know, my team and I just kind of came up with this idea of let's trickle it out there. Let's like not overwhelm people, but let's let them live with the music long enough to where they start to know who you are. They start to feel the edges of like who you are as an artist and get to really see the entire scope of who you are. And then, you know, we're releasing another song here coming soon. That's, you know, I'm so proud of it. It's one of the most vulnerable songs I've ever been a part of. And that's going to kind of wrap up the 6-song EP. So I don't know, man, it's been a journey of trying to figure out how to get out there and how to get the music heard.
How many songs did you end up writing for this project? And then did you have to go through a ton of tracks to find the right ones, or did you know that these 6 were going to be the ones to make the cut?
Yeah. So as you know, I make my livelihood as a songwriter in Nashville. That's what I've been doing for years. And so I write probably 200 to 250 songs a year, and not every song obviously is a song for me, but once we dive into songs or I have these ideas that I want to write, you know, those are the songs that I'll put in my pile, and I send them to my team. You know, Daniel Lee, he's like, and Will Hitchcock, there are two people that I really rely on. You know, Busby was the dude that kind of came in and told me, he's like, you know, I see who you are. Like, I see what you're trying to create, the vision that you're trying to create. And he helped me really narrow it in and be okay with being who I am, and speaking into the things that I wanted to speak into. So, you know, it's just been a journey through time of like the songs that really raise their hand that say, yo, this is important to me. You know, like this song is really important to me. You know, Right Here, Right Now was an experience that I had where I felt like I wasn't doing anything well. You know, I was spread too thin. I didn't feel like I was being a good father or husband or friend. I didn't feel like I had enough time and energy to put into things. And I was letting so much slide through the cracks and wasn't really like soaking in life and being present. And the night it hit me was I was sitting at my kitchen table and I was taking care of some emails. And my little boy was about to go to bed, and he's sitting on the couch going like, Dad, come over here and watch a show with me. And I'm like, okay. And I'm putting it off, trying to wrap up stuff. And I finally go over there and lay with him, and I kind of keep doing work behind his back. And he looks at me and he laughs at a part of the show. And then he saw what I was doing, and he just kind of was devastated. And I was like, oh man, Dad fail, like epic fail.
Yeah.
And so I went into the room the next day, and I was like, man, I need to be present. I need to be soaking in life. And so that song meant so much to me You know, it was like, obviously that's a song that's going to be on this EP, you know, and Going, Going, Gone is about meeting my wife for the first time. And, you know, so anything that like is truly, truly represents who I am and lessons I've learned and, you know, reminders. I write a lot of songs as reminders to myself, you know, that's kind of what I feel like this EP is. It's kind of a collection of reminders to like lead with my heart, to be a good human, to be present, you know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Are there any moments or any elements of this EP that might not be there had you never crossed paths with Busby?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he gave me the confidence to be okay with being vulnerable and speaking into these situations and allowing myself to, like, be okay with not being perfect, because, you know, he was a dude that was, when we were sitting in writes or even talking on the phone, he would always ask, before business ever got started, he would be like, how are you? How's your family? And it wasn't this like, you know, passive question. Like he really cared. And, you know, Buzz was that dude that like kind of gave me the license to go out there and write the music I wanted to and the experiences that I've had. So, you know, I'll always be grateful to him for that.
That's awesome. Well, the EP is so fun. I feel like right now in quarantine, I need a little bit of fun in my life. The opening track that was sent to us right here, right now, I was totally vibing with that this morning and just having a great time with it. And I can't wait for it to be out and for everyone else to hear it.
Thank you, dude. Yeah, we actually shot a music video for that. You should check out. It's like, it was kind of this end of the world theme. Like if you had one day left, you know, like, or 1 week left, like how would you spend it? You know, like how would you be present? And we shot it down on Skid Row in LA, and you know, it was just a really surreal experience. So I'm glad that you connect to that song, man.
That's awesome. So obviously nobody's on the road right now. You know, Nobody's playing any concerts, but I'm curious, in your life, do you have a favorite concert or a top concert that you've loved or a top performer? Who do you think is the best frontman in country music?
Dude, hands down, like that's easy for me. Keith Urban. I went to his show down in Atlanta at this little theater and I was blown away. Like just the way that it's so effortless for him. He was truly created to be an artist and you know, sing these songs, and it was inspiring to watch him play because I felt it. Like he took me on a journey, and that's what I walked away from that realizing, like as an artist, my job is to take people on a journey, you know? And that was hands down my favorite show I've ever been to.
I saw him for the first time at South by Southwest, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I think he was playing, and I'd never seen him live before, and he blew me away. And I thought the thing that was amazing about him is his band is having as much fun as he is. Like if you look at his band members, they're rocking just as hard. It's an amazing show.
Yeah, he's an incredible man, incredible dude. I've yet to like sit down and meet him, but that's one of my goals. Like I want to know Keith Urban. I want to like pick his brain.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, Ryan, be well. Thank you so much for taking the time
and excited to see it.
Is there anything, we have the new EP coming up. Is there anything else we should be on the lookout for? I mean, the EP is kind of a lot right there. Is there anything else we should know about?
This EP is just a deep dive into my life. So it's like, it's all the reminders, you know, I wrote a lot of it as reminders to myself to just be present and lead with my heart and, you know that love's not always easy, but when it's real, it's always worth fighting for. And, you know, I hope people relate to it. I hope they get to know me a little bit better as a person and as an artist.
Absolutely. Be well. Give my best to everyone, especially Will Hitchcock.
I will. I'll tell him you said what up.
See you guys. Thank you.
Peace, brother.